Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, back this week. Thank you to Pastor Lutz for filling in for me last week. I sure appreciate him being able to do that. Always a blessing to have him on, and always confident that he's going to do a good job. And hopefully he's not listening since I'm complimenting him. But I don't want him to get a big head now. But but he's always does a great job. I always have confidence in him and appreciate that. And of course, he's a pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church out in Lakewood, Ohio, out on the east side or west side. I don't know why I always want to put him on the east side. He's out on the west side. And if you're out that way, give him a visit. And of course, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, located in Richfield, Ohio. We're south of Cleveland, midway between Akron and Cleveland, and we certainly invite you to visit us. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and hopefully you'll find some things there, not only about me and about the radio program. You can listen to past programs there. There are some articles and things that I've written on various topics, and there's other materials all available at livewithpastoral.com. And you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, there, and certainly invite you to visit us tonight. We have our Bible study starts at 7 p.m., and we'll go to 9 p.m., 7 to 9 tonight, and we are, an informal Bible study where you bring your questions about the Bible, the current events in light of God's Word, and then we just delve into the Bible and try to understand what's happening and understand the questions of what the Bible says and try to make sense of what's happening in the world around us in light of God's Word. You can find us at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road in Richfield, Ohio. We're in Suite 200. It's a commercial strip. If you're looking for a building with a steeple and all that kind of stuff, you won't find us. We're in a commercial strip. And so look for our door at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio, right off from Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. And like I said, 7 o'clock tonight, our Bible study, and you're invited. And, of course, if you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you visit on our Sunday services. We have services every Sunday, 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John. And then on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And so we'd love to have you visit with us. All right, we're going to get into our program here today. We are looking at things. If you were listening here to the radio here on AM 1220, The Word, in the last half hour, I was filling in for Pastor John Lutz in his time slot. He's on here every week, every Friday at 1 o'clock. Encourage you to listen to him. And I sat in for him today as he sat in for me last week. And I appreciate that opportunity. And while I'm mentioning other programs, at 2 o'clock, Pastor Andrew Rusnacko of the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid out on the east side will be coming on. And he always has a great program, and it's a message is preached at his church, and it's always a blessing. I always enjoy listening to that as I'm headed back home from the radio station. So I encourage you to listen to that one as well. But in the last half hour, I was talking about a passage in Scripture that we use to refer to April 1st, which most people call April Fool's Day, as unofficially National Atheist Day. And that's because Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doth good." And then Psalm 53:1 repeats the same sentiment. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they. They have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doth good." And so for that point, and we said it's foolish to deny that God created the heavens and earth. They deny that God exists. And in the last half hour, I was talking about Psalm 19, where it says in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And when we look in the sky above and we look at the earth beneath and we look at all the things that we find, those locations, the abundant evidence of design cries out to such a degree that it is foolishness to say that it all happened by chance. And so I was sharing some things as we came down to the end of the last half hour on the unbelievably huge, unimaginably huge numbers when you look at the odds against favorable mutations taking place that can cause evolution to occur. And of course, having studied biology and having a biology degree, I've studied evolution quite a bit, and I've heard a number of the explanations and techniques and mechanisms that have been put forward for explaining how evolution occurred. And when you look at it, in order to go from that first single-celled organism, which, by the way, let me add this, when we're talking about this, one of the basic things you learn studying biology, you even learned this back in high school, we learned why people reject the idea of spontaneous generation. And the spontaneous generation was the idea that the non-living things would produce living things spontaneously. A pile of rags sitting in the corner for a period of time left long enough will spontaneously produce mice. People used to believe that. A piece of meat that, you know, it's been left over. It's dead. It's not alive, and it's laying there, and spontaneously produces maggots and flies, just spontaneously. And of course, we know that's not the case now. We understand pasture disproves spontaneous production of life, you know, from non-life. And what he did is he did his famous experiment where he took some flasks and he had a soup broth in it, a nutrient broth, rich broth, and left to the air, it would spontaneously produce mold and all kinds of stuff. Well, he put it in this flask and he heated it so it was sterile and there was nothing in there, but the flask had a gooseneck on it, so air, it had like an airlock, so air did not just go into the flask. It was essentially sealed from the outside air. Unless somebody went and blew into the flask, no air from outside was going to go in. It would just stay that way. And he set it on a table there, and wow, nothing ever grew in there. And they kept them for many years as a testimony that spontaneous generation does not occur. And so we learn, you know, and this is the beginnings of your biology studies, you learn why people don't believe that. But then, of course, once you get into studying evolution, you learn that that spontaneous generation never occurs except initially, there had to be a trigger that caused non-living organisms or chemicals and things to organize themselves into the first living organism. And once you had that first living organism, which spontaneously occurred, in order for that organism to continue to exist, it had to make copies of itself. And that, of course, is the beginnings of reproduction. And so that organism had to develop a mechanism for copying itself, replicating itself. And all these things came about by some means which, you know, they used to always say, and by some means over time, then the organism learned to do this, or evolution learned to do this. And they would tell you all the details. So over time, The most wondrous, incredible molecule that we know about was created, and that's the DNA molecule with its famous double helix. And this molecule essentially became the code for reproducing a copy of the original organism. And this code is, of course, the most information-dense form of coding that we know about. You compare it to computer code, you can compare it to a written language, and by the way, it has all the characteristics of a written language. It has syntax, it has grammar, it has all kinds of characteristics. It is, by any definition, if you were to see it and not know that it came from DNA, you would say that it is a intelligently designed code by any means. It's foolishness to say otherwise. But this single-celled organism over time had malfunctions on the coding process, copying the code, and most of them would have been things that would have either been detrimental to the organization or maybe at best had no effect on it. On few occasions, it would have had a beneficial effect. And it has been estimated Professor Ambrose came up with a figure of, let's see, that it needed a minimum of 5 mutations to occur in order to account for the diversity of life on Earth. Not to account for life on Earth, but to produce a functional a gain of function in an organism, a functional new part of the organism or something. It has to be 5 genes, and they have to be functionally related. They can't just be 5 at random. They have to be functionally related. And these 5 mutations all have to be beneficial mutations. A study here found that that assumes that the first single-celled organism had 10,000 genes, which is what we find E. coli, very common bacteria. One mutation would exist for every 10 cells. And so one mutation per 1,000 is only one mutation per 1,000 is non-harmful. That means that there would only be one non-harmful mutation in a population of 10,000 cells. Now, the odds that this one non-harmful mutation would affect a particular gene then is about 1 in 10,000, since there are 10,000 genes. Therefore, you would need a population of this organism of 100 million cells before any one of them could be expected to produce a non-harmful mutation of a specific gene. And then, of course, to get 5 of them means that you need to have the probability is 1 in 10 to the 40th, which means a 1 followed by 40 zeros. And they put it in context, if I haven't lost you completely yet, if 100 trillion bacteria produced every second for 5 billion years, the resulting population would still be only 1/1 billionth of enough organisms to produce that change. But that's not the whole story, because then you have to have non-harmful mutations of 5 related genes in order to create a new structure. So you can see where the time just does not, it's just not there. But let me go back and then add something here too, if that's not sufficiently confusing. This is in an organism that reproduces asexually, neither male nor female. But what about an organism that have male and female? Well, here you have a male organism that produces a favorable mutation. And in order to pass that mutation on successfully, it has to be joined with the mutation, a similar mutation, in the female of the organism that can also have that. Now, they both have to occur close enough time period that and a close enough physical distance that the two organisms, the two creatures can find each other, breed and reproduce and produce offspring that will exhibit the characteristics. Now, I know that if the male breeds with a female that does not have that characteristic, you can pass some of it on and you have some potential a little later on, but still the complexity and the odds against these happening are so astronomical that it just doesn't work. It just, there's not enough time. And so they progressively made the universe older and older from millions, from thousands of years that most all scientists believed at one time, to millions of years, to billions of years. And, even if you go to trillions of years and trillions times trillions of years, you don't have enough time. It just doesn't work. So you have to have a lot of faith to believe that that will happen. And so again, that's why we say the fool that believes in his heart there is no God. You have to have faith that all of this happened contrary to the odds and the probabilities of these mutations taking place. How much simpler it is to believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning God looked at the earth and he simply created the forms of life that we have. The Bible says on day three of creation, day three of creation here. I almost had the wrong day. Day three of creation in Genesis chapter 9, God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good in the evening and the morning were the third day. There's how the plants occurred on the earth. On day three of creation, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass," and it brought forth grass. God spoke, and these things happen because the Lord Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, the Bible tells us, is the one that created all these things. For instance, over in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews has some very interesting things in it, often unappreciated, but it says in Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so it's Jesus Christ he's talking about here, that he used to make the worlds. And Jesus is the one that spoke these things into existence. Jesus is the one that spoke, and the earth brought forth the grass and the trees and things there on day three. The Gospel of John says in chapter 1, starting in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." And that's talking about Jesus. Everything was made by him. There was nothing made that wasn't made by him. And so life did not spontaneously occur, but Jesus, God the Son, spoke and created life because in him is life. He brought physically living things into existence. And then on day five, the Bible says in day five, verse Genesis 1, verse 20, God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly in the earth above, in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the sky.' In the evening and the morning were the fifth day." Say, well, That just seems weird. It just happened? No, it didn't just happen. God spoke it into existence. And this is much more sensible than to believe in against the absolute impossibility of the odds of everything just happening by accident. And then, of course, the land animals. And finally, man himself was created on the sixth day. Genesis 1:24, God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and creeping things, and the beast of the earth after his kind. It was so, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God created man, he says, in his image, male and female created he them. A lot of people believe that there's multitudes of genders. You're talking about National Atheist Day or April Fool's Day. Here's another foolish statement to believe that there's multiple genders. God created male and female, only two genders. There's only two genders in the Bible. That's all that God created. Anybody that thinks differently, well, you got to talk to God. He's the one that created only two genders. And you are either male or you're female. You have XX chromosome or you have XY chromosome. If you have XY, you're male. If you have XX, you're female. And we're not going to get off into too much of that right now, though today is supposed to be Transgendered Visibility Day. These are people who rebel against how God created them. And I have an article at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, called Attacking the Image of God. And in that, I discuss how the devil is causing people to attack the image of God through this whole transgendered nonsense. So you can check that out on livewithpastoral.com. Look for Attacking the Image of God, an article that I wrote just recently. But getting back to creation, we see everything created, and when we look at the creation account here, you cannot harmonize this with evolution. There have been people who've tried to. They call it theistic evolution. Well, there's not enough time for these things to take place, so God guided the process, and he guided the process of evolution so that all this took place. But here's the problem with that. We had trees and flowering plants and grasses created before insects were created. The trees on day three, the insects on day six. And people say, well, it's not literal days. These days were millions, if not billions, of years in length. So the trees were just sitting around, the grass, the flowers, and everything were sitting around waiting for millions, if not billions, of years for insects to be created or God to cause them to evolve. How then would they have survived? You take away bees and other pollinating insects out of the world. It's not just bees. There's wasps and moths and other things, as well as a number of birds and things that are instrumental in pollination. These things wouldn't have lasted. They wouldn't have been able to grow. They wouldn't have been able to survive. And what do you make of flowers that are designed specifically with markings that designed specifically to alert insects, to bring them in to where the nectar is so they'll gather pollen and be instrumental in pollinating them? Fearfully and wonderfully created, the Bible says, is how we're created. And when we look at the wonders of God's creation, we realize that the only explanation that makes sense is special creation from a divine creator who has a purpose. And you know what? That divine creator created you and he created me. And he has a purpose for you and he has a purpose for me. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And that's what the whole Easter story is about, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, join us next time. Thanks for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.